I don't know about you, but when I'm using AI for my business, I don't need it to tell me what to do. I know what I want. I just need help making it happen. With Wix, I finally have an AI tool that gets things done the way I want. I just have to describe the type of website I need, and it's ready. I can even ask it to manage my inventory, plan my next marketing campaign, or help out my customers. Wix gives me AI wherever I need it. Try it out at Wix.com.
Ever see an idea so clearly in your head, but struggle to find the time to get it all done? Wix helps you go from,
I'll get to it,
to
done.
Build a full site just by describing your idea. Let an AI agent handle daily tasks, plan your next marketing campaign, or help out customers so you can grow your business the way you want without it taking over your life. Try it out at Wix.com.
Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show where we explore the golden path of transformation and aim to mine a few nuggets that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though sometimes that might feel counterintuitive, like the nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, also known as the Practical Alchemist, and it's lovely to have you with me today at the start of a new year. How are the resolutions going? That's if you made any, of course. Creating a routine so that you can achieve what you want in life can be hugely empowering, you know, and it can help us stay young, as my guest today will tell you. He's Robert Manny, fellow UK Health Radio host and host of Guy's Guy Radio, which airs in the USA, Southern California to be more precise, but can also be found worldwide in more than 100 countries as a podcast. Robert is a man after my own heart, someone who's all about entertaining people like you and me, and introducing them to new ideas and modalities that can help us all improve our lives. His debut novel, called The Guy's Guy's Guide to Love, was published to great acclaim. In fact, it was heralded as the men's successor to Sex and the City. That's something, isn't it? It's not all about guys, though. His motto is, when men and women can be at their best, everyone wins. And today, we're talking about winning at the age game. There's a reason for that, as you'll hear, so let's just get straight into the conversation. I know that you have just had a significant birthday, and I'm heading for one. And we have been talking about how bizarre it is almost that people write you off when you get to a certain age because they think that you're decrepit, you're going to be ill, you're going to be gaga because you've reached a certain age of 70. But it's not the case, is it? And it doesn't have to be for anybody.
Well, it doesn't have to be, but the odds are stacked against us in some ways because our society throughout our lives, as you know, JJ, we're giving certain markers where, you know, you're the student and then you're the early worker and now you're the parent and then you're the uncle and then you're the older worker and the mentor and then your retirement and then it's here's your discount and go away. And it's up to us to not really drink the Kool-Aid, as they say here in the States. And it's a real challenge. And I've got to tell you, there is a big difference between before you've turned 70 and then when you actually turn 70, because a lot of that propaganda, if you will, drips into your thought process where you say, oh, I'm 70. You have to catch yourself. I've only been 70 for a week and I've had to catch myself a number of times. And other people in some ways don't help out. For instance, a very close family member with good intentions for my 70th birthday, instead of sending me a celebratory gift like I did for this person in my family, I got a beautiful book on the Beatles when they turned 73 years ago. I got a book. It was, I'm dead, now what? And it's all about planning for your demise. And the intention was that that's a good thing. You know, it's really practical and this and that. There's nothing celebratory about it. It's all about you're done. And we have to really be careful not to allow that type of thinking that other people may have. And that's okay if they have it, but we can't allow that into our realm, if you will, because you start to question yourself. I remember the first day I was 70, I went out to do my exercises. I do push-ups every day at the end of my exercises. Like, how many am I going to do today? Am I going to be doing less? The answer is no. There will be a decline in certain exercises and you have to like shift and find other things to do. But it's not like there's a marker where you hit a certain point and society says you are this now and you have to take that. If you really think about it, JJ, if you live to, you know, when you hit 60, let's say, you could actually, where they tell you, they start to tell you, you're getting old, you're getting old, you're getting old. You could have a whole third or if not more of your life ahead of you. And it could be a very freeing time because you know who you are, you know what you are, you know how you can serve and do a lot of different things. It could be the best time of your life instead of what they're telling you, which is it's a slow demise. And across the board, all my friends, I've heard them when they turn 70, I hear the same word, quote unquote, old. I'm old.
Yeah.
I'm old.
Yeah.
Never say that. My advice would be to anybody, never say that because it's a mindset. And once you start saying things and your body starts to believe them and your mind starts to believe these things, then you are setting yourself on a path to a hastened demise. And it's totally unnecessary.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm already catching myself and, you know, catching these thoughts because, again, we talked earlier before I started recording. And I was saying, you know, in the UK, you have to reapply for your driving license when you hit 70. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that say, right? What is that? And you have to reapply every 3 years because obviously you're in such terminal decline when you reach 70 that you can't possibly drive anywhere without somebody checking that you're okay. And it's things like that which are so insidious in our society that do not help us at all. So it's quite an effort to rethink or change our think or thought processes to say, no, this isn't going to affect me. This isn't going to affect me in the slightest. I am still who I am. I'm still healthy. Well, many of us may have health issues, but we deal with them. And many of us are working. So many people who are beyond what we would normally call retirement age are working and contributing hugely to society. So what's the big deal?
Yeah, I agree completely. Now, listen, every case is individual. So if you don't take care of yourself and you do have some type of health issues, you know, things can happen quickly. The older you get, the faster the snowball can roll down the hill if you're not taking care of yourself. So my point here is that I started looking at the number 70 and all of the baggage that comes with it when I was in my late 60s and started preparing for that. So it wouldn't be an issue. I'll give you an example. When I ran my first marathon at age 45, I, instead of doing a 3-month training program, I trained for a year.
Yeah.
By the time I got to marathon day, I had already run 20 miles 3-4 times by myself without anybody cheering or handing me water on the sidelines. So by the time I hit the marathon, I was so excited, I actually ran a faster time the second half of the marathon than the first half. It was amazing. And I went out 6 months. I made a mistake though. 6 months later, I went out and ran a second marathon and my body hadn't completely rested itself and healed yet. But the good news is if you prepare for things, when they happen, you're already there. It's not like they hit you and then you have to start thinking, oh, I'm 70. If you've been taking care of yourself and you can start at age 40, 50, 60, whatever it is, whatever the markers you have, you know, society's giving you, start preparing ahead of time. Put yourself into a good routine, a healthy routine. And routines are good things, particularly as we age. They keep us on point because it's very easy to make excuses. I'm not going to do that today. I'm not going to meditate today. I can eat ice cream today. If you start to discipline yourself, it becomes a lifestyle and everything starts to flow a lot easier. And I think that's one of the more important things as we age, JJ, is being able to have a discipline as to how we live, what we eat, the choices we make, So it doesn't become a battle all day long in making choices. We already know what we're going to do. We already know what makes us feel good. We've already had the time to learn what things affect us adversely, whether it be food, thoughts, behaviors, people, etc. And we know what to avoid and know what to bring into our lives.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very good point. A routine is definitely a plus in our lives. And I know that recently I've had to make changes so that I can stick to certain routines, you know, because it is very easy to say, oh, I won't do that today. I, for instance, didn't swim the other day. Now, I swim in the morning, usually in the sea. Also, I'm going through my fourth winter now of swimming outdoors in the sea. I never thought that I would ever do that. I think I was 14 when I decided I would never swim off the coast of the UK ever again. But that was in the days when package holidays were coming in and we all headed off to the south of Spain and France and Italy for our summer holidays. Yeah, you have to have that routine, and you have to have, again, people around you who can help you keep to that routine. So, for instance, I've got my swimming buddies. And if it weren't for them, I'd probably never get down to the shore to go for a swim, frankly. And, you know, we get down there, take off our robes in a swimming costume. I think the other day it was 2 degrees, 1 degree. The water, I think, was 4 degrees Celsius. And, you know, we're walking down to the water and saying, why are we doing this again? What? But we're doing it because we don't want to let the others, we don't want to let ourselves down. And it's a group effort. And then we feel great afterwards. But, you know, we need people around us to help us as well, don't we?
I think that's a great point you're making, JJ. Number one, swimming is a wonderful activity, and it's super healthy. And I think a point here is, we have to make some changes as we age. We have to not be foolish. We're not going to do everything the exact same way we did in our 20s. We adapt things. We turn the dials a little bit. So for instance, I ran marathons. After my third marathon at age 50, my body said, you've done enough marathons. That's 3. Find something else. And I started running shorter runs, shorter races, and then started swimming. And I replaced a lot of my running with swimming. And I find it's better exercise. It's something I can do forever. It keeps me young, and it's a terrific workout. And so that's one thing, knowing how to turn the dials. The other thing that you mentioned is the importance of having some friends, shared activity. I recently started playing pickleball, which is kind of sweeping the United States. It's a combination of ping pong, paddleball, and tennis. It's a smaller court. It's a wiffle type of ball that you use, and it's the paddle's like a ping pong paddle, and it's a great activity for groups of 4 people. So you can play, and like I play with my wife, my sister-in-law, and a friend, or another somebody else shows up, and we rotate in and out. We switch teams every game, and it's a great shared couples activity. It's very good exercise. It's not too strenuous. But it's strenuous enough. And also you have to use your eye-hand coordination, and you have to use a lot of neural pathways that you don't use and you could very easily avoid throughout the day. And the other thing is it's communal. So you're interacting with other people and you're having fun and you're getting a workout at the same time. So it's about being adaptable and continuing to add activities that fit in as to where you feel you are right now. So we have to be mindful that, yes, we are aging, but it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It could be a good thing. We can make some changes that fit in with where we are now so we can really have very vibrant lives going forward.
Yeah, and I think that's really important, and it's great. I'm glad that you described what pickleball is, because I've heard of it and didn't really know what it was because I'm not sure it's hit the UK yet. I don't know, but it sounds interesting. Yeah. And yes, when you're doing that, when you're playing something like table tennis or tennis, you are using certain muscles that you wouldn't normally use as well. Right. And probably not even the same muscles that you use when you're swimming. But you're also, yes, you're having to think differently. And I mean, some people will say, well, you know, I'm using different neural pathways on my devices when I do puzzles and this, that, and the other. And that's true too. That helps with the brain too. But what about things like Okay, so you're saying that we make changes as we get older, which, yeah, is true. What about things like what we eat, and what about, you know, supplements and that sort of thing? What's your take on all of that?
Well, I know I'm a boomer guy, so I have so many friends who continuing, for the most part, they do the same thing they did since we got out of college. A lot of meat, a lot of drinking, a lot of still pressure. A lot of them are still working because I think, in my opinion, some of them not sure what they're going to do when they're not working. And the work gives them, helps with their identity. Not for everybody, but I think for a lot of people, that's the case. And it's not people's fault. I think that's the society is you are this, you are in the insurance business or you are in that business. And that's, if you find your identity based on that, then you really want to hang on. And there's the money there also. But, for me, I think in terms of eating, I made a real conscious effort to adapt along the way. I stopped eating meat, and this is just for me because I know a lot of people like a carnivore diet, and I have nothing. I'm not going to criticize that for all. For me, I ate meat like 5 times a week at least for many, many years, and I drank every day. I had at least a drink or a beer or a glass of wine or something because I was in the business, in the advertising business, and worked on some spirits accounts. But I cut out meat 15 years ago, and I cut out alcohol 4 years ago. Now, this has worked for me. I'm not saying that's for everybody, but I think regardless, you can't, it's like Einstein said, you can't come up with the same solution if you do a solution if you do the same thing over and over again and you face the problem the exact same way. You have to look at it differently. So for me, I cut out things that I felt were impacting me adversely. I just had enough. I've met my wife and she didn't eat meat, and I started not eating meat. Now she eats meat sometimes, but I don't. I kept going with it. With the drinking, I was a casual drinker, moderate. I never had a real issue with it. But 4 years ago, I had incredible pains one night. I was in my apartment and I felt it was in such pain, such discomfort that I felt my life force leaving my body, literally. And I had to make a decision on the spot, and I pulled myself back in. And I heard a voice in my head say, "Don't drink alcohol." I stopped. I haven't had a drop of alcohol since. I could very easily go back, but I learned something. I learned to listen when your higher self has something to say to you. And I also learned that the drinking was about ritual. It wasn't about alcohol. So I found that I could have one non-alcoholic beer or a glass of alcohol-removed wine. And it does the same thing. It satisfies my behavioral ritual of opening up a bottle, pouring something into a glass, being part of the crowd, opening up a cold beer, pouring it into a glass. It's the same thing, but there's no alcohol, and I don't like drink 5 non-alcoholic beers or something. I'll have maybe one at most every other week. So the need for that behavior has kind of fizzled out, which is good, but I realized that it was the ritual that I was addicted to, if you will, not the alcohol.
That really is a huge part of drinking alcohol, the ritual and the social aspect of drinking. Well, we'll hear more from Robert Manny about that in a few moments. First, it's time to take a short break. I'll be back with Robert right after these messages, so stay with us.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
I don't know about you, but when I'm using AI for my business, I don't need it to tell me what to do. I know what I want. I just need help making it happen. With Wix, I finally have an AI tool that gets things done the way I want. I just have to describe the type of website I need, and it's ready. I can even ask it to manage my inventory, plan my next marketing campaign, or help out my customers. Wix gives me AI wherever I need it. Try it out at Wix.com.
When you've got too many ideas and too little time, that's when you need Wix for your website. Wix helps business owners, like you and me, get more done without burning out. It's packed with AI tools that actually make running your business online easier. Build a full site just by talking with AI. Get an AI agent to manage your sales and marketing, or work like a 10-person team, even if it's just you.
Try it for yourself at Wix.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and my guest today, Guy's Guy Robert Manny. Not just talking about men, of course. Nope. We're talking about aging. And before the break, we were hearing how when Robert stopped drinking alcohol, he realized it was the ritual that had a hold on him. Here's Robert again.
Well, just with other people, I have found for myself, the first time, you know, somebody tries to offer you a drink or this or that. And I did not have an alcohol issue per se, but I just had never stopped cold turkey. I had done it for a year. But I never felt I had an issue. Nobody ever said to me, you know, you should stop drinking. I just folded it into my lifestyle. I go out for a run. I drink. It was inclusive. But I think after you get past the first time that you're out with your friends and they realize you're not going to drink, they're not going to try to tempt you after that. Because a lot of it, people's behavior is about them. They don't want you to initially to leave their group of drinking because, you know, you're part of that, and then they lose something. But once they realize that you're not going to partake and you made a different decision, people are pretty respectful that way. And after that, they're not going to bother you. They're not going to say, oh, well, how about just one? They're not going to do that. Maybe the first time you're out, they'll challenge you a little bit. But after that, it's pretty cool. So then it's up to you.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And I think it's about 20. I'm not actually, while you were talking, I was trying to work it out. It's about 20 years since I stopped drinking alcohol. Wow. And that was menopause. My body stopped being able to process alcohol. So, I was getting ill when I was drinking. And it was a gradual thing I noticed. One of my friends actually said that she could see my face change. It was like, it was like an allergy almost. You could see that the wine, which it probably was, that I was drinking wasn't doing me any good at all. And then it got to the stage where it became really quite nasty. And I got very ill even after one glass of wine. So that was, that was me stopping, because why would I cause myself so much pain? Why would I go through that just for a glass of wine? No. Mm-hmm. Go on.
No, I'm sorry. It's the same thing for eating, like with meat. I stopped, and you know, people accept that. And there's certainly alternatives. I don't miss it because I there's so many other things to eat, and there's so much flavor that you can get by with meat. Now, meat could be good for you. I don't know. There's a lot of schools of thought. The carnivore diet, something in moderation, or no meat. You've got to pick what works for you, what makes you feel the best. And so this is working for me now. Will I go back to eating meat? You know, if it wasn't for the animals, I would. And there's arguments about that also, because I never thought about the animals when I stopped eating meat. A hamburger was a hamburger. It wasn't a cow. And after a few years of not eating meat, and by the way, I got sick when I stopped eating meat. About 2 weeks after, my body was in the middle of detox. I got very ill for about 2 weeks, and then I got past that. And I think it takes some time for the meat to like leave your marrow of your bones. It takes some time to get it out of your system. So I figured I don't want to go through that. I don't want to go through that again. But you know, initially it was a challenge, and then I found other things that I could choose that gave me the same satisfied feeling of a good meal. And then I started to think about the animals. Like, can I get the protein I need without eating an animal? And the answer was yes. And I don't like the way the animals are treated at some of these factory farms. On the other hand, JJ, people can make an argument that if you support sustainable farms where they grow the animals, and that's a good thing actually, and you should support them. So I'm not against it. And I don't know what I'll do there. But this is what works for me now. And that's the point. People have to make a determination. What works for me now? What makes me feel the most healthy? What are some of the behaviors that I might have done 40, 50 years ago that maybe don't work for me now? Do I want fluoride in my toothpaste or not? You know, everybody has to make decisions as to what am I willing to put in my body? What am I going to challenge? What can I, you know, maybe eliminate? Maybe you drink more liquids now. Maybe you drink more water now and you drink less alcohol. It's all, you have to make choices, and you make the choices that work for you. It's not going to necessarily work for your best friend or your spouse or your boss or whatever. It's going to have to work for you and make you feel the best.
Yeah, you have to listen to your body, not to what somebody else is telling you your body needs. Yes, and really, I hear what you're saying about eating meat. And I was once vegetarian, but I didn't do very well on it. I wasn't mm-hmm. well as a vegetarian. But I do know that your body changes when you go completely vegetarian. Your gut no longer can digest meat. So if you do have some meat, it causes you problems, you know, trying to digest mm-hmm. it. I do remember once coming to visit my parents, and my mother said, I've got a couple of lovely lamb chops. And I said, but I'm vegetarian, Mum. And she was very, very upset. Mm-hmm. But I had to try to explain to her that I actually couldn't. It wasn't that I would have done, but it would have made me feel really bad for a while. So I get that. And now I do eat meat, but I pretty much all the time, it's supporting local farms that farm sustainably. And mm-hmm. we know exactly where the meat's coming from. We know exactly what goes into it. We know exactly how they manage the land. That's the kind of meat that I eat now. Is it more expensive? Yeah. Yeah. But it's wholesome.
Yes. Yes. You know, it's interesting, JJ, that we're talking about, and I mentioned a couple of things I don't do anymore. Well, that aging doesn't have to be about what you don't do. It can be about things that you add. For instance, I meditate now. I didn't meditate 30 years ago. I do now, and I was gifted into a TM program by some of the folks who run TM in the States, and I do it every day. I love it, and that's a ritual for me. It really works for me. I encourage anybody, any type of meditation you do, whether it's a walk in the forest or just deep breathing, anything, or TM, or any zero balancing energy, whatever meditation you do, it's a good thing to just stop and collect yourself. And particularly as you age, because the stress builds up in your body over time, and we can get really stiff as we get older. So add more meditation, obviously hydration. You know, you see older people, they're shriveling up. There's a reason mm-hmm. they're not hydrated. And 80%, I think I read something where 80% of Americans suffer from some form of dehydration. Wow, people just really? Aren't, they're not getting enough water, and they're not getting enough sleep. I sleep more now than I ever have. I make sure I get, anytime possible, I want 9 hours a night.
Yeah.
I want 9 solid hours. And a lot of people can't sleep. They have major problems. So mm-hmm. to me, the meditation has helped that. My change in diet has helped that. My increase in hydration has helped that. And the extra sleep has helped me feel strong, rested, good, and recuperated. So it's not about just, oh, I'm getting older, so I take all these fun things away. No, there's a lot of things you can add that are going to enhance your quality of life as you age.
Yeah, I agree. And I usually get about 7.5, 8 hours, which suits me. But yeah, I could probably very happily do 9 hours, but I'm always awake somehow. Going for a swim, that's the thing. I'm always mm-hmm. going for a swim in the morning. So get up for that. But talking about the swimming and the socialization, what about the social side of life as we get older? I don't know about you, but I never think of my age when I meet people. I have friends of all ages, but I don't find always the same coming the other way back at me, right? Yeah. I don't look at people and say, oh, you're far too young for me to talk to you.
I think it's the society, JJ. That's, I don't feel old yet. You know, yeah. I have gray hair, whatever hair I have left is gray. So people see me, and maybe visually they see, you know, oh, he, because of his hair, whether it's a lack of or what color it is, he's older. And then all of those built-in prejudices come out. We don't see that because we don't see ourselves as older. No. We just don't. So we're probably more accepting in that. We're just, somebody else. I don't know how old they are. It's like, yeah. I was helping coach out my son's baseball team. This is another thing. I'm an older dad. My son's 11. I was coaching a team and I didn't realize somebody said it's my birthday this weekend. I said, oh, great. How old are you? I figured 40 or something. Guy was 25. And wow. I just turned to, I didn't tell him how old I was. But you know what? The key thing is when we interact with other people as we age, it's the energetic presence you bring. Ultimately, that's going to win over. It's the energetic presence. And you build. They might look at you and say, oh, you're old. But very quickly, you can demonstrate, not trying to demonstrate, but by being who you are, you will show them that you're not old. You're just somebody who has some experience. And your energy, your vibe is youthful. We used to do all interactive stuff when we were doing coaching on the baseball, and the coaches would get involved in the competition. I remember I had to race from, we had to run in opposite directions from home plate around, and I was matched up with the guy, the head coach. He was 25 and I beat him, and he was shocked. And I could tell he was upset because he's a competitive guy and he had no idea that I still have my wheels going, if you will. But it's, you know what, it is what it is to me. Bring the energy. Let other people make the determinations on you, whatever they want to say. You're this, you're old, you're that. Let them just do your thing and they won't be able to be unstoppable. They won't be able to discount or ignore your energy. If you're feeling good about yourself, if you're being positive, if you're adding to things and finding solutions, if you're all about, you know, service and all about how can we make this as good as it can be, or if not better. People are going to be attracted to that.
Oh, yes. Energy is key. I'm glad Robert brought that up. And we'll go into that more in just a couple of minutes. So don't go away. I'll be back with Robert right after this short break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And this is Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and today I'm talking healthy aging with Robert Manny, who's just turned 70 and has some great tips on how to deal with such a momentous milestone and some not quite so momentous milestones leading up to it. We were talking about energy before the break, keeping our energy high. To me, this is fundamental. We talked about meditation and exercise as some ways of keeping our energy up in a way that suits us. And I asked Robert if he had any other suggestions. You know, are there any other things that you can add to that list?
Yeah, I think always learning new things, reading, not just watching. It's easy to watch a device. It's easy to scroll. We all know that. Before I go to bed at night, I put the phone away so I'm not scrolling in bed.
I do that too, yeah.
We're both doing shows, so we're learning about our fascinating guests. And to me, I make sure if I don't have time to read their book, I'll power read. I will go through the whole thing.
Me too.
I want to make it an experience that to have the conversation with me on my show, as you do, that it's not the run of the mill. It's not the rote thing. If they send me 10 questions, I'll read their questions. I'll come up with 20 on my own. But it's just about adding your own energy and not doing things based on rote, but doing things based on having an eagerness, having a curiosity. I think those things really help out a lot. Being curious, learning new things, like even pickleball. I keep my guitar close by. I just saw the Bob Dylan movie. I want to go back and figure it. That was fantastic. You know, it's not Bob Dylan, but the character and the spirit of Bob Dylan is so important because he was really a trailblazer, and they did a wonderful job in the storytelling and the production. You know, Bob Dylan, you know, people say, oh, he sings just like Bob Dylan, but he doesn't. He sounds like him, but it's not the dimensionality that Bob Dylan has that comes through his body. So that's different. Though you could say, oh, well, Bob Dylan doesn't have a great voice. But you know what? He sings like Bob Dylan. He sings like a person. And that's different. So it's just about and relearning. So I went back and listened to some of Bob Dylan's old songs and listened to some old Woody Guthrie and say, wow, the roots to this music and the blues and everything that's before what's happened now. And you think about the music then and the music now. And what a difference it is, how instead of getting better, there's more of it, but so much of it is technical, made in the studio. Yeah. And
with a lot of writers as well, with more than one writer. I mean, sometimes maybe as many as a dozen writers.
Exactly.
On one song.
Exactly. So authenticity, I think another thing to keep us young, be authentic, be yourself. Don't try to, be a people pleaser. Do what's right for you. And be yourself. And that doesn't mean just like saying anything without thinking, but being mindful and saying what you believe, but in a respectful way. Your authenticity is important and it'll come through. And people are afraid to express themselves nowadays because of so much suppression. And it's like you're on this side or you're on that side. And it doesn't have to be that way. And I think hopefully things are going to change where we're going to start listening to each other a lot more. And I think that's important also. As we age, I know so many people are, they're just shut down. This is what they think. And don't bring me anything new because I know this is how it is. And they don't want the bubble burst. But you know what? I want my bubble burst. I want the truth. That's what I want. And everybody's different that way. But I think it's healthy to be curious. It's healthy to be a truth seeker. It's healthy to listen to other perspectives. And it's healthy to keep learning.
I think you're absolutely right. I have a friend who's somewhat younger than me who keeps talking about how people of our age or, you know, I don't know, what would normally have been called retirement age, right? How we find it difficult to adapt to what's going on today. I'm not entirely convinced that that's true, but I kind of get what he's saying. A lot of people are very closed, like you say, and don't want to embrace what's going on, the new ways of doing things, new ways of doing business, all that kind of thing. But we can embrace it. There's no reason not to.
Well, I think a lot of people are afraid that if everything that they believed in turns out to be false, that it's a reflection on them.
Right.
And it's not. I don't think anybody's looking to judge them. I think it's an opportunity for people to say, oh, my God, I can't believe I fell for that or I believe this when things are really not that way. And to me, just keep a curiosity, question everything, be open minded and listen to what everybody has to say, I think is the healthiest way to go. Because if you try to lock in and put up those walls and shut the door, it's a very lonely place to be, and you're always going to feel like you're on a defensive because the world's going to keep moving. I think it's much healthier to like try to keep up with it as best you can, keep an open mind, but don't lose yourself to what the noise is that's out there.
Yeah, I think that's key. And questioning everything, I always say, question everything, even anything that I say. You know, I'm not, I don't know everything. You know, I'm not, I don't know the meaning of life, the universe, and everything at all. And I may say things, but question it. Find out your own truth, if there is such a thing as individual truth. But, you know, find out what works for you, what resonates for you. And yeah, the authenticity is really key as well. You're right. And I think maybe, I don't know, you would know maybe better than me there, but maybe if you've constantly, well, you know, for so many years through your life, if you've always had to give a lot of your energy to others, then you can be subsumed by others. And it's very difficult to find yourself again when you get older.
Yeah, that's true. I think a good practice is to every once in a while, get into a calm state, call back your energy from any place you put it out there. Because there are a lot of people who will unwittingly or wittingly pull energy from you, and also set out all the energy that you've collected that you don't want from other people, and do this kind of energetic cleansing on yourself as best you can. And you know what? We didn't mention, JJ, is I think as you age, as we age, you know, the aspect of quote unquote spirituality, I think it's important to think about, why am I here? Who am I? What am I? How can I serve? Is this it? I do my, you know, 80 and out, or am I an energetic being having experience in a physical form? And some of those determinations, I think, are worth considering. And obviously there's no better time to think about that than as you're aging, because you're going to see some mortality at some point around you. And you're going to confront your own in various ways at some point. So you might as well have a perspective, a healthy perspective on who am I? What am I? How can I serve? How do I serve? What do I want? And how do I fit into this whole thing? Or am I just, you know, you want to respond instead of react to life. And I think that's incredibly important, because so many people are just, the world, the society, the culture throws so much at us that we keep reacting, react, react. I got to take care of this. Got to. And it's really not supposed to be that way. It should be more of a responsiveness. Okay, I see this is going on. This is how I want. This is how I choose to respond to this. I hear this noise here, but here's where I am. And you have to find that place, that peaceful, happy place for yourself that you can go to when you need to, because it's super important. Otherwise, this world with all the noise and the media and the technology and the screens and everything, it can consume all of your time.
Yeah. And it's that stress which underlies a lot of our health problems as well, isn't it? So, you know, the less we allow ourselves to stress about stuff that's going on, we can step back, take a view, move on, let go, whatever we need to do, then we're going to be a lot better off, aren't we? Now, we're coming to the end of this. I can't believe how long we've been talking for, but we are coming to the end of our chat here. It's been fantastic. And what I want to ask you to do is tell everybody where they can find you, because it's not just on UK Health Radio, not just on YouTube. You do a whole load of things, don't you? You're writing, you've got all kinds of channels going. Tell us about them.
Well, over time, things have kept building from a foundation. It started with a book I wrote. It's a novel. It's been called The Male Successor to Sex and the City. It's called The Guy's Guide to Love. And it's a rom-com. It's a comedy. And it's gotten very, very good marks. So you can download 3 free chapters from my website, RobertManni.com. I've already got over 350 blog posts there about life, love, the pursuit of happiness. I'm on UK Health Radio 4 times every weekend and on demand. Guys Radio is the show. My worldwide podcast is downloaded in over 100 countries. Guys Radio, you can find it on every platform there is, basically. And I've interviewed over 750 thought leaders, including yourself, from around the world in so many different disciplines, everything from sports to health to writing to business. We do it all. And also I'm on KCAA Radio in Southern California 3 times in prime time every week. And I also write a column about aging for UK Health Radio's Health Triangle magazine. It's called Aging is a Choice. I've got a series, there's 22 articles so far, and we're going to turn that into a book, and we've got a lot of more coming on. So I try to focus my time on relationships, where I do a lot of interviewing of relationship experts, masculinity, kind of how to be a new man in a really good way. And it doesn't have to be you go out in the forest and get a bunch of guys together and start going, oh, it doesn't have to be that way. There's a lot of ways of being what I call a guy's guy. And then also we're doing a lot with aging because it's something that my generation and our generation is facing. And it's really important to have some people to kind of lead the way and say, you know what, this can be a really good thing. So I'm pretty much, you can just Google my name, Robert Manni, M-A-N-N-I, and you can find me and my work pretty much everywhere. But thank you so much, JJ.
No, thank you. And you're such a great example of aging fabulously and not allowing aging or our advancing years to define us. And I love the notion that aging is a choice, because it really is. And also having role models our parents didn't have these role models. Our parents didn't have people who would say, oh, yeah, you know, that aging is a choice. You don't have to worry about being 70, 80, 90. They kind of stopped when they retired, if yes. they retired. And then that was the end-ish. So, you know, we are in a different place these days. We're in a new kind of era where we can embrace the fact that we are pretty much, you know, an everlasting being in a body experiencing life here, and that we don't age internally anyway, or needn't age internally. So, yeah, thank you so much for all your wisdom and all your help. And I do encourage everybody to go find out more about Robert Manni at his various locations online and elsewhere. And, you know, I think it's fantastic the work that you're doing. So, Robert, thank you so much.
Thank you, JJ.
Really good to have Robert on the show, and a very happy 70th birthday to him once again. I'm not far behind him, and I'm already having to consciously banish aging thoughts as the day approaches. I'll let you know how that goes. For now, though, do check out all the fantastic work that Robert is doing. But that just about brings us to the end of today's show. If you want to find out more about me, then do check out my website, thepracticalalchemist.uk. Now, you'll find out all about my coaching and mentoring offering there, as well as my energy clearing work. You'll also find all the links to anything that I'm up to and my social media channels, including my new YouTube channel, Alternatively Speaking. I've just started uploading a daily thought again, post Christmas and New Year. That's Monday to Friday, and I've started that after taking some time to rest and feel my way into the new year. There are definitely changes to come. For now, though, there's just time to say thank you so much for listening. Let me know how you enjoyed it. I do want to hear from you. You can email me at jj@thepracticalalchemist.uk. So join me next time, though, for more practical alchemy. And until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.
About businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.